the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, December 24th, 2024, Christmas Eve. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, some of our greatest lessons are learned from our cultural heroes. So true. For example, Popeye didn't eat his spinach until he absolutely had to.
Well, if that is the worst thing that happens today, I'll be thrilled.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Well, of course.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Is it so?
You might be quizzed.
Right. You just keep making those idle threats, okay? See what happens. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1906. Reginald Fessenden transmitted the first radio broadcast consisting of a poetry reading, a violin solo, and a speech. Of course, no one had a radio in those days, so nobody actually heard it. But just to be nice, we're going to take his word for it. How about that? And it was on this day in 1914, during World War I, the Christmas truce began. A lot of people take this for legend, but it's actually true. The Christmas truce was a series of widespread, unofficial ceasefires along the Western Front around Christmas of 1914. Then, the next day, of course, being good, loyal soldiers, they resumed shooting each other.
This is funny to you?
I've been getting a perverse pleasure out of watching the left and their huge forensic analysis of where did we go wrong in the wake of the election. I mean, you've got a lot of people out there who seriously don't understand how they lost. And actually, that great slogan, "We have met the enemy and he is us," fits the Democrat Party. I mean, they did everything wrong. They're still doing everything wrong. And I wonder if they're ever going to get it. They just don't understand the American people. And one of those people who is offering a forensic analysis is Joe Manchin. Now, he's an independent, former Democrat. He's leaving office, and he's taking a few parting shots at his former party on his way out. He sat down for an exit interview of sorts, telling CNN's Manu Raju that he doesn't see that party regaining a foothold in American politics anytime soon. Funny, neither do I. And I'll bet you don't either. Worse yet, he said Democrats have no one to blame but themselves. Now, as The Hill reported, he called the Democratic Party's brand toxic, going on to rail against its current priorities. Quoting him, "They basically expanded upon thinking, well, we want to protect you there, but we're going to tell you how you should live your life from that far on." And he criticized the party's progressive members and argued that they're out of touch with Americans. Well, yeah. I mean, I haven't heard anything yet from the esteemed Mr. Manchin that borderlines on genius. Anybody, everybody could see this. Well, everybody except the far left in the Democrat Party. He said, "This country is not going left." And plenty of Americans clearly agree with his assessment, as last month's lopsided presidential election results revealed. I had one fellow who likes to debate me on my Facebook wall argue with me that the election was not a landslide. Oh, it was a landslide. It was a landslide. By any definition of the word, it was a landslide. So, and you've had Democrat campaign operatives leaving the Democrat Party ever since. So this is getting really, really interesting. You have to wonder, will they ever figure it out? And people are tweeting about it, of course. And during the same interview with Manu Raju, Manchin took aim at some Democrats in particular, when asked about incoming House Progressive Caucus Chair Greg Kezar's, I think that's how you pronounce that, remark that Democrats would have won the election if the party was more like outgoing caucus chair Pramila Jayapal and less like Manchin, the Senator Joel Raju. For someone to say that, he's got to be completely insane. And I agree. I mean, Jayapal, my God, what a train wreck of a politician. He said the people in America voted. They had that opportunity, you know, to vote with Kamala Harris and with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, there's not much that hasn't been said. You know exactly what you're getting. He hasn't made any bones about it. You might say he's too far right. Okay, if that's the case, then why did they go too far right when Kamala was trying to come back to the middle a little bit? Instead, Manchin blamed Harris' loss on her inability to cast herself as a moderate candidate after championing progressive issues one after another during her first presidential run in 2019. He said, if you try to be somebody you're not, it's hard. And he declined to endorse the vice president ahead of the election. You recall that. And while he dodged questions on whom he voted for in November, Manchin shared that he likes Trump and gets along fine with him. He added that during the Army-Navy football game last week, he told the president-elect, I want to help any way I can. Nice attitude. But I mean, the reason I mention Joe Manchin is because he broke away from the Democrat Party. He is an independent. I have to respect that. I love it when Joe Lieberman did the same thing several years ago. When Lieberman left the Democrat Party and remained an independent, I really respected that. I'm not saying that I didn't like it when Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party, was an independent for a while, and then joined the GOP. I understand why Tulsi did that, and I support that. But in the cases of the Joe brothers, Joe Manchin and Joe Lieberman, this was a very important, by just two men, this was a very important message sent to the American people that maybe what this country really needs can't be found in either party. But now that Donald Trump has really, and I didn't think he was going to be able to pull this off, but now that Donald Trump has really become the head of the Republican Party, I'm not so sure. Maybe the Republican Party will be the party of the American people. As the Democrats, who are still wallowing in their defeat in this election, are embarking upon this painstaking process of forensic analysis. Where did we go wrong? I wonder if they're ever going to get it. I want to rewind all the way back to, this is probably September 19th or 20th, if I can go by the timestamp here. A lady by the name of Evan Barker, young lady. She looks like she's not out of her 20s yet. And you see the Golden Gate Bridge in the background in this video that appeared on Fox News Channel. She is a former Democrat campaign fundraiser. And she appeared on the Fox News Channel with Lawrence Jones. And she basically appeared to confess, to come out, that she has left the Democrat Party.
It is so crazy that I'm even speaking to you. If somebody had told me a month ago that I was going to be talking to Fox News, who I've been told is the enemy, I would never have believed it. But basically, yeah, I've worked in Democratic politics a long time. I've raised them millions of dollars. And I went to the DNC last month hoping to feel re-inspired. And instead, I just felt like I was in a room with the most out-of-touch and elite people in the world. And, you know, I'm originally from the Midwest. A lot of the people in my family are union workers or have been in unions, and they are people who once voted for Barack Obama, and now they vote for Donald Trump. And for a long time, I did not understand why. And after raising money for Democrats and just being in these circles, I have realized that the donors control the party.
Oh, yeah.
They control everything. They control what the candidates prioritize. And I know that Republicans also have this issue, too, but Democrats are much bigger hypocrites about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think what it comes down to is just the hypocrisy and the fact that I don't recognize this party anymore. You know, they have become the party of Dick Cheney, of mm-hmm. Goldman Sachs, of endless proxy wars, of identity politics, you know. And I'm just at a point, you know, I've been very brave the last couple of weeks, and I've gotten a lot of flack from a lot of people. And I'm just at the point where I can't stand it anymore, and I have to speak out. So that's why I'm here.
You know, Evan, we're happy to have you on Fox News. And look, 15-year-old Lawrence Jones probably wouldn't have been on Fox News as well. But here I am. You see things change differently. Right. You grow up. So let me ask you this, Evan. What happened to the party? Because one thing I found out is about the working class. It doesn't seem like they're even concerned about, you know, the prices when people go to the grocery store.
I know, and this clip that you guys just played with Oprah and like all these celebrities zooming in from their mansions, I mean, they're just telling us basically that all we need to have is optimism and joy, and that's going to fix our lives. And I'm just tired of it. I'm completely fed up. You know, my grandmother, she lives in Missouri. She voted for Obama twice. She's voted for Trump the last couple of times. You know, she's getting by just on her Social Security check right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and things have gotten so outrageously expensive. It is so difficult for her. You know, I want to see the Democratic Party talk about what they're going to do for my grandmother, not just have a bunch of celebrities fly in and tell us all to be joyful and optimistic. It's cringy. It's embarrassing.
And I'm wondering at this point, do the Democrats even understand now that they can roll out all the celebrities, the movie stars, the athletes, anybody they want? And as long as they're wealthy, and we all know they're wealthy, right? If they're appearing with Oprah, they've probably got money. As long as they can roll out as many of these people as they want, and they will never, never gain a vote off of that. The American people have awakened. You notice I didn't use the word woke? The American people have awakened. Now, this is a process that's long overdue, but we have finally gotten to the point where we don't give a tinker's damn about a celebrity. There have been damned few celebrities who have solved any of the nation's big problems. The last one I can remember was Ronald Reagan, okay? There was Jimmy Stewart, who flew B-17s in World War II, and he went on to become a general in the Air Force Reserve. Let's see who else we have there. George Montgomery, he was another one, World War II hero. Hedy Lamarr, and I forgot who she worked with, what his name was, but he was a composer. And they were the ones who came up with the idea, a working idea, believe it or not, on scrambling radio signals so they can't be deciphered by the enemy. I mean, those are the last celebrities that I know of who really solved any problems for the American people. And finally, the American people are at the point where they themselves, the common on-the-street voter, the worker, the teacher, the bus driver, the truck driver, the steel mill worker, they now understand that these celebrities don't mean doodly squat. We have a new emerging American hero, great American hero, and it's a lady. And you would recognize her name, probably, Danica Patrick. Now, a bunch of guys could sit around and debate whether or not she was a great NASCAR driver. She also drove F1s. But, I'm sure it'd be a very spirited conversation. But the issue here isn't whether or not she was a great driver. She's certainly the best known female driver in the NASCAR circuit. She did all right. She did all right. Made a good living at it. Now, she has come forward as a great American. And I'm getting a big kick out of it. Well, last weekend, she was at the AmFest event, and she bumped into Glenn Beck, and she sat down and had some very interesting things to say about the transgender issue regarding men playing in female sports.
A healthy male testosterone level is 1,000. a healthy woman testosterone level. These are like high. These are like good high.
Yeah.
Is 100. That's 10 times more testosterone. And so this is how they're able to be as big as they are, as strong as they are. It's just not the same game. It's just not the same game. In racing, I had the car. But if I didn't have the car, I wouldn't be able to compete in basketball, football.
Right.
Like, I'm just not the size for it.
Right.
So I'd be much more gymnastics.
Yeah.
So, and there's just certain things that people fit for and don't fit
right.
for. But by no means do I believe that there should ever be men playing women's sports. I can't believe we did that.
I know.
Like, I feel like we're going to look back and we're like, I can't believe we did that.
Oh, I think the last 20 years we're going to be, historians are going to look back and say, what were these people thinking?
I mean, did you watch the Olympics this past?
Oh, it was
absolutely. Just the opening ceremony and all the, I mean, it's just like the things that are being put on television
right.
and accepted.
Yes.
On top of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just like, for me, this whole like last year has been a campaign about like just the rational vote. Like, can we just get back to like women's play women's sports and men play men?
Right.
And I'm coming to you from a woman who played in traditionally a man's sport.
Now, that was back on Friday. Then the next day, Saturday, she took to the stage there at the AmFest event and made another very interesting point.
My sister and I came to the event. I posted some pictures after the event. And I said something along the lines of, you know, America Fest, Am Fest, I love this country, seems like the place to be. And the backlash was just wildly shocking to me. Don't you guys find it amazing that you can say, I love this country, and it means you're Republican? That you can wear an American flag, and it means you're Republican? Why aren't these things American? And the work isn't done until that's true. Look, I've lived in other countries and America is amazing. I lived in England for 3 years while I was racing and came back and immediately got an American flag tattoo on my back.
Can you feel, though, the national attitude is finally changing? It's become a lot more positive. I mean, gee whiz, even Time Magazine put Donald Trump on their cover, Man of the Year, again. Not the first time they've done it, but they've done it again, and I think that's pretty interesting. But the national attitude seems to be changing. And by the way, AmFest, that's the big event put on by Charlie Kirk's organization, Turning Point USA. And it's a great gathering, huge gathering of Republicans and Trumper kinds of Republicans. And when it comes to whether or not you're a Trumper, gee whiz, I see, and maybe I've got it wrong, but I don't think so. But I see the Republican Party being far more welcoming of people who are just kind of on the fringe of becoming conservatives. And that's what we have to be. We have to be welcoming. Did you ever think that you would live to see the day that huge numbers of black males would climb aboard the Republican Party? And a good many of them now are running for public office, and well, they should. I mean, the real conscience of America can be found in today's Republican Party. Well, I would love to be able to attend an AmFest event sometime. Actually, almost any Turning Point USA event, because Charlie Kirk is amazing the way he puts these things together and the way he spreads the gospel of conservatism. And the man is getting through. He's getting through to a lot of people. I don't think this victory that Donald Trump enjoyed in this election would have been as great as it was if it hadn't been for Charlie Kirk in his own sector of political activism. He's amazing. Well, in a speech closing out Turning Point's AmFest event, Donald Trump interrupted his post-election victory lap to address claims that Elon Musk is commandeering his presidency. Now, naturally, this is the kind of a suggestion that you would expect the mainstream media to make, and they've been making it plenty. But Trump told the crowd, By the way, this event took place in Phoenix, and he told the crowd, he says he's not going to be president, that I can tell you. He can't be. He wasn't born in this country. Well, that's true, but that didn't seem to stop Barack Obama. Anyhow, the Constitution specifies that only natural-born citizens can serve as president. Well, while Musk, the founder of SpaceX, is an American citizen, he was born in South Africa to non-American parents before moving to Canada and eventually the United States. In fact, technically speaking, Elon Musk is an African-American. Anyhow, talk of President Musk began among Democrats, of course, who've been portraying the richest man in the world as a shadow leader in the wake of Trump's November election victory. Now, that narrative gained steam during the continuing resolution battle when Musk made quite a few posts on his social media platform X expressing opposition to the roughly 1,540-page funding bill. And that's what the lawmakers initially put forward. Nuts. So anyhow, let's see here. Nancy Pelosi wrote on X on December 19th, which was what, last Thursday, after the deal collapsed, she wrote, Elon Musk ordered his puppet president-elect and House Republicans to break the bipartisan agreement reached to keep government open. Now, Pelosi, anytime she opens her mouth, I mean, just consider the source. The woman is nuts. She's insane. I think she's clinically insane. And you listen to the woman speak. She has difficulty putting a coherent sentence together. She's like Kamala Harris. How Pelosi got where she is beyond me. And this woman is still doing insider trading. Yeah, it's an accusation on my part, but prove me wrong, all right? You want me to prove the point? You prove me wrong. Pelosi is an unlawful representative. I mean, yeah, she was elected, but then, you know, Californians will elect anybody who's got a D behind their name, all right? So anyhow, lawmakers eventually passed a massively slimmed down bill, and they did this back on Friday, just hours before a government shutdown would have commenced. And once again, if the government had shut down, we would have been just fine. Now, Republicans and conservative commentators like Mark Levin, the great one, have characterized the narrative as an attempt to drive a wedge between Trump and Musk. So in Phoenix, Trump appreciatively recalled how Musk stumped for him in a key battleground state, Pennsylvania, during the final weeks of the campaign. And he also offered a simple reason for working closely with Musk, a serial, I guess you could call him a serial entrepreneur. He is the world's wealthiest man, got a net worth approaching $430 billion. And of that, Trump said, I like having smart people. And we've discussed this before in some of the previous blogcasts that Elon Musk is a genius. You can tell that by listening to him speak. Now, Trump's remarks were full of pledges and some familiar from the campaign trail. Others were more novel. He vowed that the tallest mountain on the North American continent, I don't know if you heard about this, will again be named after President McKinley. And the reason he did this was because he said McKinley was a great man. He advocated for tariffs. We think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. Anyhow, the Obama administration changed the name of the mountain to Denali. That was back in 2015. And he did that in line with a 1975 request to the Interior Secretary from Alaska's then Governor Jay Hammond. Now, the name Denali comes from the state's indigenous Athabascan culture. Don't know anything about them. But ever since I first read that word, Athabascan, I've decided, you know what? I'm going to look that up and see what I can learn about them. So Trump explored the restoration of the mountain's original name at the beginning of his presidency, and he reportedly asked the state senators Dan Sullivan and Lisa Murkowski if they would support a reversal of the Obama administration's name change, and they urged against it. Oh, well, you're never going to get everybody to agree on everything. All right, a quick programming note here. This is the last Blogcast for the week. Going to return back on Monday and more than likely have a... We'll have a more normal week next week. I'm probably going to take New Year's Day off, but you'll have Blogcast for the rest of the week. And thank you for your support. And thank you for passing along the link to these Blogcasts to your friends. Don't bother to pass them along to people who don't think like us, because they're not going to listen anyhow. And if they were to listen, it would only make them angry. And I don't want to do that. But pass it along to friends. All right. Hudson and Landry, they used to be morning guys on the radio. I forgot which station. I think it was KMPC out in Los Angeles back in the late 60s, early 70s. And a couple of funny guys. And they used to do nightclub gigs out there. And, oh, man, the comedy albums they cranked out were numerous. But they also did a holiday piece that has become a favorite over the decades since. And my years in radio, God, the number of requests I got for this. And I thought we'd go ahead and go into Christmas with a real classic from Hudson and Landry, Frontier Christmas.
Mercy, mercy, that man. Harlow! Harlow!
I hear you, woman.
Well, come in, honey, land sakes. It's Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Come on in, Harlow. It's Christmas Eve. Santa Claus will chop the wood.
Harlow, you're so bad.
Ah, fix me some grub.
Lick your lips and lay one on me. It's Christmas Eve. You made my socks drop. Feliz Navidad, honey.
Shut up, Silver, you idiot mule.
Feliz Navidad, Silver.
Feliz what?
Feliz Navidad, Harlow. That's Mexican for Happy Christmas.
Oh, what do them poor Mexicans know about any Happy Christmas?
It was on a night like this that the wise men followed the star.
I'll rustle me out some grub, woman.
They brought gifts for the Christ child.
Well, I wish them camel riders would drop in here now with some beef jerky and some moonshine.
Remember our first Christmas, Harlow?
Yeah, I remember.
You brought me that beautiful music box.
Your word to get us. We had to sell it on the way out of here to buy food and supplies.
I wonder where that music box is now.
Oh, probably some other moony woman is gooning over it. How would I know?
I've got some hot buttered rum for you, honey.
There you're talking.
You haven't mentioned the tree, Harlow.
I seen it.
I decorated it real pretty for you with popcorn and gingerbread, man.
Yeah, I know.
Mercy, I'm tuckered. I hope I'm not too wasted for church in the morning.
Church?
To celebrate the first Christmas.
You mean to run down there and throw your money in that padre's plate like all them other stupid women? That's what you mean.
Oh, Harlow, don't put the bad mouth on the padre. Not on Christmas Eve.
Shut up, Silver, you lop-eared no-account.
That's it, Harlow. Knock the padre, knock the mule, knock Santa Claus, just like you knock Redfeather, because he's a ninja.
White man, Harlow.
Oh, there's Redfeather now.
Redfeather back from secret mission for Pale Eyes.
Quiet, Redfeather.
What secret mission?
Never mind. Get some hot buttered rum.
How, Redfeather?
Yeah, how, Redfeather?
Straight, whole butter.
Feliz Navidad, Redfeather.
Yeah, thanks.
What Harlow Squaw say?
I don't know, some kind of Mexico talk.
Oh, he knows, Redfeather. Don't let him fool you.
I'll fix a savage a drink.
That's right.
Come here, Redfeather. Did you get it?
Track many, many miles. Cost many white men dollar.
I only gave you a few dollars.
Oh, not worry.
Red Feather scrape up difference.
You didn't steal it.
Oh, no. Get from Padre. He get from stupid women who throw in pills.
Quiet about the Padre.
Hilo, what have you got there?
Ah, it's nothing.
Oh, Red Feather, open. Show squaw.
Ah, stupid Indian.
Oh, Harlo. It's my music box.
Woman?
Yes, Harlo? What is it, honey?
Please never nod.
Have a wonderful Christmas and try to keep in mind the real reason for it, too. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next Monday on the Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time over the next couple of days just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?